Don't get them girls loose. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on this Monday, and you can help decide who made this week's Allstate Good Hands Play of the Game. You could win an autographed pair of gloves from the winning player. Cast your vote right now at clevelandbrowns.com, and good luck. The nominees are Taylor Gabriel, Miles Austin, and Tashawn Gibson. Check that out right now at clevelandbrowns.com. Joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, the man who called the game for CBS yesterday and who did the preseason broadcast with the Cleveland Browns, Solomon Wilcots. Solomon, yesterday the Browns snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. What was your biggest takeaway from that game against the Ravens?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from the Cleveland Browns' perspective were how good they were in the second half offensively, particularly in the third quarter, then to begin the fourth quarter with a missed field goal and then a blocked field goal. That's six potential points, as you well know. They would have a seven-point lead as Baltimore was going down on that last drive, and Baltimore needing a touchdown to tie the game at the end as opposed to a field goal to win it. I think we know that. That makes a huge difference. So there were squandered opportunities. I thought in those moments that it could come back to haunt them.
Solomon, Matt Wilhelm here. Talk to me a little bit again. If you've covered the league in depth over the past years, talk to me a little bit about Brian Hoyer, the type of game that he played, the leader, and his legitimacy as a quarterback and leader of the Cleveland Browns offense.
Well, I think around the league there are a lot of people, particularly within coaching circles, who look at Brian Hoyer is a guy that is going to get the ball out on time. He's going to manage games very well. The timing and tempo in which he manages the passing game allows him to play at a high level. His ability to read and recognize defenses, and then his ability to throw the ball with great accuracy. Doesn't have the strongest arm, but as you well know, and I think many coaches will tell you, arm strength is sort of like icing on the cake to build a good foundation for being a great quarterback. It's not a necessity, but it'd be great to have it. But all those other things, a high football IQ, ability to rally guys and lead a football team, those are the things that allow you to be a really good quarterback at the NFL level. And Brian Hoyer showed a lot of those things when he was at Michigan State. And I think so far in the short time he's been with Cleveland, those things have resonated.
Brian Hoyer certainly has been impressive, as has this entire offense, quite frankly, under Kyle Shanahan. When you really think about what's happened there, Hoyer, sound decision-making, has not turned the football over yet. In fact, the Browns, the only team in the NFL without a turnover. But Solomon, this was a team that wasn't supposed to be 10th in scoring offense, wasn't supposed to be 12th in total yards per game offensively. This was supposed to be a team that struggled offensively and had a great defense, and yet the defense ranked 31st in the NFL after the first three games. From your bird's eye view, what is going on the defensive side of the ball with the Browns?
Well, the corners have to play better. And I think even Joe Hayden would tell you that down the stretch yesterday. He can play better. I thought he played a great game, by the way, taking Steve Smith out. That's what happens, though, when you play a lot of press man-to-man coverage. All they need is one hit on you. I mean, they get one on you, that's enough to steal a win. But Joe played, I thought, very courageous, played a really good game against Steve Smith. Steve gets the one at the end to set up the game-winning field goal, and they get out of there with the win. But I still think Joe did a really good job. You know, I think everyone would tell you that Justin Gilbert so far has been a disappointment, and that's probably where there's a breakdown. I think Buster Screen's played really well at the corner. I really like the safety group. All three of them, from Jim Leonard, obviously, Dante Whitner. But going back to last year, I was a big fan of Tashawn Gibson. He continues to impress. But the two positions, as Mike Benton will tell you, that get you beat faster are the quarterback position and the cornerback position, and they can be better. I thought they got knocked off the ball a little bit in the run game up front yesterday, so they can be better up front as well. And they'll play better. They're much better than what we've seen from the first 3 weeks.
And let me ask you about Justin Gilbert, the young corner who was not on the field much in this game, but when he was, it was very apparent and obviously targeted often by the Baltimore Ravens. Your assessment of his performance, where he's at, should people be concerned about the eighth overall pick in the 2014 draft?
Well, anytime you get pick in the top 10, And, you know, the plays aren't coming. They're not making as many plays as you would like. You're going to be concerned, but you got good coaches there. You just hope that the confidence doesn't wane. I also have seen some good things from Justin Gilbert. So week two, I thought he played much better than what we saw in week one or in yesterday's game. So the thing is, you just hope that the confidence maintains and that he continues to build on that, refine his technique, maintain his composure, mainly when the ball is in the air, because he's got tremendous ability. I mean, he's got speed, he's got height, he's got range. When that ball is coming, the best cornerbacks in the league don't panic. They just simply find it and make a play on it. The inexperienced corners who aren't comfortable playing in that trail technique tend to get a little antsy, and then they start grabbing and reaching as opposed to playing the ball. So I think we've seen that with him, and these are things that can be corrected through good coaching.
And Solomon, you referenced good coaching, and I made the point that I think this bye week for this football team comes at a great time. Again, with your experience and covering across the league and the body of work that you saw yesterday from the Cleveland Browns, what are some key points that you see going into this bye and coming out with a road game against Tennessee that you'd like to see addressed?
Oh, it's going to be the defense. I mean, it's your run fits. There are players that are better than maybe what we've seen perform. It's just some minor breakdowns, you know, on the play to Juszczyk, the fullback who really kind of replaced Pitta at tight end. But they did a cross motion with the backs. Forsett went one way, brought the fullback out. He was wide open. You know, Dansby's in chase, but it wasn't Dansby in coverage. That's the end man on the line of scrimmage, and Barkevious Mingo, who was rushing the quarterback. And, you know, Barkevious is a guy who hadn't been playing football for a very long time. There's a lot of things to the game, detailed reads in terms of our key reads that he's got to lock in on, and it's an easy play. From an athletic standpoint, he can make it. But from a cerebral standpoint, he's got to be in tune and locked in on his assignment. Those are the things I think you'll see them addressing over the bye week.
Solomon, this ground game has been excellent. Really, the whole offense, this offensive line, I think, really the unsung MVPs of this team, allowing Brian Hoyer to be his efficient self, operating predominantly from a clean pocket. But when you see these rookies out there, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, what are your thoughts on the two of them? And we've started to get a lot of calls saying, man, we need to see more of Isaiah Crowell, especially in the red zone. What are your thoughts on those two backs and who maybe is the better fit for this zone scheme?
Well, first of all, You have, I think, one of the best offensive lines in football. I think I said it during the broadcast yesterday. I felt that way throughout preseason and training camp. That's why it was imperative that they gave whatever they needed to give to Alex Mack to bring him back. And I know drafting Joel Petonio, that was, you know, that's a boon pick. That was a tremendous pick.
Yep.
And if you ask around the league now, defensive linemen will tell you Cleveland Browns got one of the best offensive lines in football. So your running backs are going to thrive. You got three of them, even when Ben Tate comes back. I think you're going to be fine there with all three guys. I just want to see them keep developing. We had a play yesterday where Terrence West goes one way, and, you know, Hoyer's ready to hand it to him. The line's going the right way. The quarterback's going the right way. Running back goes the wrong way. These are rookie mistakes that kill drives, that kill scoring opportunities, that cost you a football game. So as good as they have been, I think inside the building they'll tell you, hey, we got to get better if we're going to start winning games. The numbers look good. The yards per carry average looks good. But it's hard to get rookies to help you win games. And that means you got to eliminate the mental errors, because mental errors cost plays. Plays cost your drives that you end up punting when you should have been scoring. And that's what really hurts you at the end of the day when you're trying to put games away and come away with a win.
Solomon, some people, obviously, because this loss feels so different in a sense from the Pittsburgh loss where the team rallied. This one, they gave it away. But I do feel like it is a new era here in Cleveland, and this is a team that can play with anybody at any time. Overall, your impressions on the trajectory of this Cleveland Browns team, even though it sits at 1-2 headed into the bye?
I think everybody knows that Cleveland's not going to be an easy out. They are as competitive of a team that we've probably seen since they come back in 99. And you got to go ways back to say that, okay, anyone who comes in there, they know they got to play a complete full game. I know when we talk with the Baltimore Ravens, their head coach and their players, they expected it to be a tough game. And, you know, coming in, they had won 11 of the last 12.
Yep.
So most teams, including Baltimore, could have come into now that the same Cleveland Browns. Well, they weren't saying that. And I think they saw it yesterday where we had over six lead changes. So the competitive balance has been achieved. Pittsburgh knows that. I think Cincinnati is going to find that out by the time they're done playing their two-game series this year. I know the Baltimore Ravens understand it and know it. So it's really going to be how they're going to perform against some of those elite teams outside of the division, because I think the Browns are going to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. It's saying a lot considering how good that division is. But when you play the New Englands, when you play the Seattles, the San Franciscos, the Indianapolis, the Denver Broncos, to me that's the real tipping point to tell you how far the team has come.
Solomon, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking the time to stop by with us, and thanks for your call of the game yesterday.
All right, guys, keep up the good work. Thank you.
We will. All right, when we come back, we're getting back to you. 216-578-0850. You've heard our thoughts on this team, where they're at. Listen, the Browns are two plays away from being 3-0. This is a better Browns team than we had a year ago. They got to figure out a way to get it done. The sky is not falling. The offense has been phenomenal. The defense hasn't. They've got to get that fixed over the next 2 weeks, and I believe that they will. We want to get your take, though. 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.